John chapter 14 this morning, and the title of the message is Jesus is our only way home, from John chapter 14 this morning. We just started John 14 last week. We actually ended the chapter 13 and looked at the first three verses of John 14, but I'd like to read the first six. We'll go to verse 14 today in our teaching. So in the Bible, in John chapter 14, verse 1, Jesus speaking, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way you know." And Thomas said to Jesus, "Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way?" And Jesus said to him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." So, Father, we dedicate this Bible study to you. We pray for your blessing and anointing. We pray that you give us all ears to hear what you have to say through your word. Give us hearts to want to yield to the things that you communicate to us this morning, the way you may encourage us, correct us, lead us, provide wisdom where wisdom is needed, provide strength of heart. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. It's a joy to be with you this morning and to be in God's Word together. And as we've been going through the Gospel of John, it's, you know, over 30 messages so far. We find ourselves in chapter 14. And as you're familiar with, chapter 13 and 14 and 15 and 16 and 17, they're just the last day of ministry with Jesus here on earth. So those first 12 chapters dealt with over 3-year period of time. But now there's a concentrated time with Jesus and with his disciples. And in a sense, we have to not just read the text, but as much as we can experience what's really happening. So Jesus knew that his hour had come. It's time for him to go to the cross. And the disciples weren't on the same page regarding that. They've heard the teaching. They saw Lazarus risen from the dead. The message, you know, what happened to Lazarus is going to happen. And so he continued to communicate the cross that was ahead, but they were thinking more of a kingdom now. They were thinking, "Jesus, this is the time. You're the Messiah. There's no one like you. All the things that you have done and your teaching, and the Bible speaks about the Messiah coming and setting up the kingdom. This is certainly it. And you've chosen us. And we're so close to you. We've been with you these last 3 years. Everything that we do together. And that appointed time is now." And he had washed their feet. And in chapter 13, he was communicating the heart of a servant and what's ahead. He spoke to them about loving one another as God has loved them. He said that all men will know that you are my disciples by the love you have for one another. And they're probably just going, "Yep, got it. We'll love, man, especially when we're ruling in the kingdom over those Romans and overthrow it all. We're good with love." Doesn't the Bible say love conquers everything? We're going to be conquerors. I mean, that was their mindset. And they were just so excited. They couldn't think of life without him. And Judas had betrayed him and had left the scene. And Peter was going to deny him. And he begins to speak to them. And he says, "I'm leaving." And it's just like, you cannot leave. What do you mean you're leaving? It wasn't in the agreement. You can't leave. We've waited for this time. Great things are happening. "No, I'm going to leave." And their hearts were greatly burdened and greatly troubled. What would life be like without him? We need you. We sang today, "Lord, how we need you." It's God, we left everything. We left our fishing. We left everything for you. We love you. We want to serve you. I'm leaving. And where I'm going, you can't come. And you could see what that would bring to them. obviously they were troubled in heart. And today, we experience troubling hearts. Today we do. When we look at this world, it's more troubling than we've known through our life. At least I will say that personally. Just to think about what's going on to the Israeli people, the nation of Israel, and the war that's going on right now in Ukraine and Russia taking place, and Russia's involvement and Iran's involvement with weapons and animosity against Israel and really against the world, and China's involved in all of that. North Korea's happy about their new nuclear program that they have going on. And we've got a border down below in the United States that is just absolutely out of control. And I need these words today. They minister to me. Let not your heart be troubled. It would be easy to have a troubling heart. Where are you, Lord? You've left us. Where are you? We were just thinking of the outpouring of your Holy Spirit and people coming to faith and being excited and living for you. And we see people leaving the church. We see people leaving the faith. We see great rebellions in our own nation and in the world. And world events basically turn over stones, and you get to see, is that really what's going on? Is that what's going on in our own city? Is that what's going on the campuses? Yes. It's troubling. It's just like, that's not what I wanted. I want more people to come to you, Jesus. We're giving out the word of God. The word of God is going out today like never before in history through media. The word of God is out there for the whole world to have. We're thinking, this is the time. Let not your heart be troubled. And then he says, you believe in God, believe also in me. And it gets back down to, I've got to trust God right now. I have to trust him. I don't understand. I don't understand. But he's asking me to trust him. That's what he's asking. He didn't say that you'll understand. He says, will you trust me? So you and I, we need to trust him. Secure for a troubled heart. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. So it comes back to that faith and that trust in Jesus and in his word. And then he gives us a picture of the future. So not only a sense of peace, let not your heart be troubled, he's going to give us peace. You believe in God, believe also in me, in my Father's house. So he shows us that this isn't our home. This is not our home. Our home is heaven. We're heaven bound. So what's the most important thing for you, for me, and for our family members and friends is, do you have a relationship with the Lord? Because we can take life where we're at right now, but I'm going to fast forward it because there's a time when you and I won't have but one more breath left, and are you ready for heaven? That we have everything in between, and that's living out our faith, but do you have that relationship with the Lord? That is more urgent today than ever before. Are you right with the Lord Jesus Christ? We had a great celebration of life yesterday with Donna Hyman. She used to be in fellowship here until they moved to Minnesota. She was involved in helping to orchestrate our ministry at that time called My Day to Pray, which we had a calendar in back. And everybody took one day per month and prayed, and she was a real catalyst for that going on. But it's really interesting when you get together to celebrate a life, because not everybody in attendance is celebrating the life of Jesus, and you're just trusting that that would be accomplished through the ministry. And I want to thank, there's such a wonderful team of servants in our fellowship that can take, you know, hosting an event like that. I mean, it's like hosting a wedding or a big event to put that on and to be a blessing to the family, that they're not caring about anything other than to come and be ministered to. And our fellowship does a wonderful job concerning that ministry. Thank you so much. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house, there are many mansions. If it weren't so, I would have told you that. But I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I'll come again and bring you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. So God is speaking to us today about troubled hearts. And it's easy to have a troubled heart, to be overwhelmed. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden. Take my yoke upon me and learn from me, for I am lowly and gentle in heart. You'll find rest for your soul. And how we need that. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. It says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So David, 3,000 years ago in Psalm 23, is talking about dwelling in that house with the Lord. Jesus, in his earthly ministry, before he goes to the cross, hours away from this cross that he's going to bear, is saying, I have a place prepared for you. And that was written here in this time over 2,000 years ago. So I can say to you, and hopefully the Spirit is saying to us, I've got it taken care of. I've got a place prepared for you in heaven. So don't let your heart be troubled. Strengthen your faith. Continue to believe in God. Don't doubt. Don't buy into all the other ideologies that come down the line. Don't buy into anyone that says the Word of God isn't relevant. Turn off other teachers that say the Old Testament isn't necessary for today. I'm speaking to the evangelical Christian pastors right now that are strained from the faith, strained from the truth. Jesus says, no, I'm going to trust in him, which means I'm going to trust in his word. I want to believe him like never before. And I'm excited for what's ahead for you, for me. Paul said, I haven't arrived. And if the Apostle Paul, with everything that he accomplished in his life and his relationship with Jesus, says, I haven't arrived. I'm still trusting Jesus. We're in that same place right now. So heaven is a prepared place, and I would say that our conversations today have to center around heaven. And so maybe the question that one might ask is, are you ready for heaven? Many times the answer is, I hope so. That would be a fairly sincere, honest answer. I hope so. And what would it be if you can continue the conversation and say that actually you can know for certain about heaven? It moves beyond hope to a reality that you can actually know with complete 100% certainty that heaven exists and it's a place prepared for you if you believe in Jesus. I think we need to step out and become more bold in our conversations regarding heaven and the reality of eternal life. Many times when, you know, we were saved over 40 years ago, we would just say, are you saved? Are you saved? You know, you going to heaven or hell? You know, you ready for heaven or what? But that might not be the best right now. but you want to get something conversationally. Are you ready for heaven? Have you thought about heaven? I think that is an invitation, because most people think about heaven or have a concept about heaven. So ask. Are you ready for heaven? Jesus was speaking about heaven. We're learning about it in there. He said it's a place prepared. And then the disciples, when he's speaking to them, again in our text of John 14, you have Thomas. And remember, there's 11 of them. They're sitting around the table. They just had their last meal together. And there's this dialogue that's happening. And Thomas said to Jesus in verse 5, Lord, we don't know where you're going. How can we know the way? So it's the absolute confusion. You just says, where I go, you know the way in verse 4. But Thomas says, I don't know. Where are you going? I mean, we don't have GPS, Jesus. So where are you going? Tell us. Reveal it to us. And Jesus said to him, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. When we look at these statements, they're the I am statements. And we saw that in John's gospel, there's seven I am statements. He started off in John chapter 6 by saying, I am the bread of life. And then in 8, I am the light of the world. In 10, he said, I am the good shepherd. In 10, I am the door that you'll enter in. In 11, he says, I'm the resurrection and the life. And here in 14, I'm the way, truth, and life. And we'll learn in 15, I am the vine. So Jesus is declaring by I am, I'm God, and I'm the only way. That doesn't set well in the world. The response is, that's too narrow. I need something a little more broader in my belief. Far too narrow. Jesus let it be rather exclusive. There isn't any other way. None. I was speaking to a friend just recently. He's a corporate person and traveled to a foreign country that is dominant Buddhist religion. And he was telling me that he actually, on this trip with the CEO of this company that they're working with, who's a Buddhist, invited him to the temple. He's a born-again believer. And he said that I went to visit, not to worship. And he said, I did that to take an opportunity, because after I saw their beliefs and their gods, he said, I talked to the CEO with an interpreter there and said, I'd like to pray for you because I believe in the God that created everything, the entire universe. That's who I believe in. And I want to pray for you and your family. And he agreed to that. And my friend wisely said, we won't need an interpreter for this. So he had moved the interpreter away. And he just said, in the name of Jesus, I pray for this man, Lord, just capture his heart. Just turn his heart towards Jesus. Just cause him to, you know, just, I mean, just prayed for him because he loved him. He cared about him. There's nothing he would gain from that. He might even lose some of the business that he had. But he felt that because there's only one way, one truth, and one life. And Jesus was really clear because he spoke about that narrow way in the Sermon on the Mount. He says, narrow is the way. That is the path. It is a narrow path that we are on. When we look and see in verse 7, if you have known me, you would have known my Father also. And from now on, you know him and have seen him. And now we have Philip. So Thomas was speaking. Peter already talked about, you know, I'm not going to deny you. Yes, you are. Thomas, I don't know where you're going. Philip is going to say, Lord, show us the Father, and it's sufficient for us. In other words, Jesus has already communicated the I and the Father are one in John chapter 10. He communicated. He's God in human flesh. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him. Without him, nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of the world, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So Jesus declared, you're looking at, I mean, God is before you. God in human flesh is here. And Thomas says, well, we don't know where you're going. And Philip goes, well, it will settle everything. Since you're going to leave, then we just need the Father. I mean, just, where's the Father at? These men are confused. And I would suspect that I would be with them in that confusion in that upper room and the intensity of what's going on. Can you imagine what the realm of spiritual darkness must be like hours before Christ goes to the cross? Can you imagine the spiritual warfare going on? You had Judas in the midst, which Satan possessed him, and he left. You got Peter is going to deny him. You got these other disciples, and you're just thinking of Jesus, and these are the guys that are going to lead the world in the faith? Yeah, they are. They are. And God's chosen you and me. And I'm sure that when the Lord looks at our life and the questions that we have in our own heart, we're not at the dinner table, but in our heart to the Lord, the questions we have, the way we question God, the way we question what he's doing, the way we question the way he may respond or not respond to certain situations, then there is a Thomas and a Philip and a Peter and us in the midst. And it comes back to, believe me, I'm the only way, I'm the truth, I'm the life. I'm not going to mislead you. I've got it all taken care of. I have a home in heaven for you, and I got work for you to do on earth, but you need to trust me. If you've seen the Father, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And Jesus said in verse 9, have I been with you so long and yet you haven't known me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. Or how can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does the works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the sake of the works themselves. So it's getting down to the proclamation of Jesus proclaiming who he is. He's the eternal God who's come to earth. There's the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. There are not three gods. There's one God. God has manifested himself as God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And you say to me, I don't understand that. And I say, welcome. I don't either. But he didn't ask me to understand it. He asked me to believe it, that he's at work. And so I believe it. And then we get down to the last couple of verses. In verse 12, it says, most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will also do. And greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father. And whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. So when we're getting down here to the application this morning and looking at these first 14 verses, and we're living at a time of great difficulty, great challenge, troubling times, and the Lord says, my peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, give I to you. So the first thing he says, he acknowledges it's in the Word of God. He's speaking not to these disciples alone, but the Word of God is speaking to us today. So you have a troubling heart. Your heart is troubled. Your heart is overwhelmed. God wants to give you his peace today. He wants to provide the peace of God that surpasses all understanding. And we wish we can just go and purchase that. And maybe it's a peace hat and I put it on now, I feel peaceful. But he says, I want you to believe me to provide that for you. Believe me. And you can believe me because I have heaven prepared for you. I came to earth to die for your sins so that heaven would be a prepared place for you and for me. I'm going to the cross. I've got it taken care of. How nice is it on earth when you're with somebody, a family member, a friend, a ministry, whatever, and they say to you, it's taken care of. It's taken care of. And they have the wherewithal and the experience, and they have it taken care of. And they say to you, it's taken care of. And you can rest. It's taken care of. We got it covered. It's done. And you just have a rest. And the Lord would be saying to us, I've got it taken care of. It's done. I did the transaction. I died for your sins. I'm your sin bearer. You're not guilty anymore. I've taken that away. I want you to be with me. But you're living here on earth and I have work for you to do. And to really be fruitful in that work, you have to understand and come back to with all the isms that are out there right now. Jesus is the only way, truth, and life. So now we're tested today. Well, what about same-sex marriage? Well, what about it? Well, it's legal in the States and you know, like people can get married. Yeah, I understand that. But Jesus said he's the way, the truth, and the life, and he recognizes one man, one woman, and a marriage in that. That's Jesus' way. yeah, but that's not culturally cool or relevant, and you could get yourself in trouble or whatever. And you know what? I'm going to go back to the way, the truth, and the life. And then this is where it's at. And it's like, no. I mean, you can do what you want to do. I mean, people are free. I'm not telling you can't. I'm just saying you're violating God's standard, and the results of that violation are going to be felt in your life and in your eternity as well. You don't want to do that. It's not going to provide what you think it will provide. And then the whole transgender thing going on. And people are buying off into this. And then corporations are having you take diversity training and all kinds of other things that are taking place. And now there's, in many jobs, there's borders. There's guardrails on what you can and you can't do. So for here, as a church, we'll continue to represent the Lord. It's not, you know, who are you for and against? We're for Jesus Christ. We're for his word. We're for salvation. We're for redemption. We're for restored lives. It's not transitioning people. It's the transformation that comes through Jesus Christ and being born again. That's what people are looking for. And we will believe he is the way, the truth, and the life. And that's it. And we have to be confident in that. And the more that we know him. And so he put that there, and he's saying the way it's going to work out in your future is that you got to draw near to me. And he speaks about his relationship, Jesus, with the Father, and this abiding relationship, because Jesus humbled himself to the point of death, death on the cross, when he came to earth. And he submitted himself to the will of the Father, fully God, fully man. And whatever your will is, Father, is what I want to do. Which would be where we would come to that place because of that abiding relationship with the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And then he said that you're not going to be alone. You're going to have a relationship that will include communicating with me. In verse 12, I say to you, he who believes in me, and we're affirming that today, we believe in you. We believe you're the way, the truth, and the life. We believe in you. We believe you're the resurrection and the life. We believe you have a place in heaven prepared for us. We believe that you'll bring peace to a troubled heart. The works that I do, he will also do, and greater works than these he will do because I go to my Father. Now, some high-level evangelistic miracle healing campaigns like verses like this, because just like, what wild thing will God do because he's going to do greater things? Well, you know, the Lord did some mighty things on earth. I mean, he fed 5,000, 10,000 at one time. I haven't seen that duplicated very much. I know that there's been some ways that God has worked through individuals with orphanages and other things like that, just being that great provider. I haven't seen people walking on water as well, and just looking at some of the other miracles that he did. So what does it mean? Well, I mean, I think that it's just what he's saying. Jesus was one man, God in human flesh, and he was reaching a geographical, very small location. And his work is for the world. And that was a great work that he did on earth. But he said there's going to be a greater work. And he's going to die on the cross. He's going to be buried, rise again from the dead. He's going to show up on the day of Pentecost. And all of a sudden, there's going to be an experience of the Holy Spirit. And Peter's going to give a message, and over 3,000 get saved, and then shortly after, 5,000. And all of a sudden, the Spirit of God and the Word of God and the people of God, and the Word of God is going out, and churches are beginning to be established. And today, the greater work today, a work that was relegated to a very small geographical area in Israel, it is so great. The work of God is greater than at any other time. The work of God, the word of God going out around the world today. We have friends in Israel that serve as missionaries, and they're having to make changes. We're in touch with them. Even when we went to Israel, our bus driver was a Messianic Jew, and such a blessing. Some of you here know that. And we've learned of his situation. We've learned of his family and his daughter, and one of them is in the military helping communicate to parents who have lost their children and in the war and identifying bodies. So his livelihood is gone. And our tour group is doing something to be helpful to him at this time. And he gave us a little video in Israel just helping us see. We have, from our church, we support a missionary in Turkey. And going through some pretty difficult times right now. I'm saying that great works are taking place around the world. As difficult as Iran is in the public political scene, there's a great work of God, my understanding, in Iran, incredible work, in Iraq as well, in China as well, and have to believe in North Korea. God's got his people all over the world. And when we see what's going on in Gaza and through there, you realize there are missionaries there. There are believers there. There are servants of the Lord there. They're giving their life. And as you prayed, Pastor Bill, we pray that today is a day of salvation because tomorrow could be the day of death. And we pray for that work. The great work of God is going on right now, a greater work than at any other time. And as a ministry, we believe that God is able to perform anything he wants to do miraculously. We believe in the gifts of the Spirit. We believe in the working. And we pray for that work today. Even this morning, somebody mentioned through the prayer recently just the changes that God has made because of prayer, greater works. And then he says, whatever you ask in my name. So there's an invitation. And I will do. The Father will be glorified in the Son. You ask anything in my name and I will do it. And that can be kind of a difficult verse to really embrace and say, well, I, because every one of us have asked for things that never came through like we thought, every one of us. And you can't like, well, I'm going to correct this or I'm going to bring enlightenment to this or whatever else. No, we continue to ask God for any and everything. And what is happening usually in the process, I know for me personally, I'm going to ask according to his will. Now, this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have petitions that we have asked of him. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so that you will be my disciples. So there's a relationship with the Lord, and in this relationship, many times, what I'm thinking I need is what I'm thinking I need in my own thoughts. But as I draw close to God and abide with him, it's interesting how my thoughts can change because I'm reading the Word of God and I'm seeking God. And what I wanted to really see God do initially, I've come to a different place. And many times it's God, work, humble me. I need your grace. Many times it's just your grace to accept what you want to do and to yield, saying what your way is the best way. And many times I am thankful. My wife and I were both thankful that God didn't answer the prayers that we had asked him to answer because it worked out so much better his way. It took a longer period of time, but I'm thankful. So we don't make any apologies for God. He's giving us an invitation. Therefore, come boldly to the throne of grace that you might find mercy to help in time of need. I think that invitation is out there to us. And I think we need to respond and we need to pray and we need to pray in faith and we need to ask God and we need to ask in Jesus' name for him to work mightily. We need to submit ourselves to God. Change me or give me greater faith in situations to believe you, to work within my life. I want my life, as the Jesus says, Father, the hour has come. And he said, if there's some other way in John 17, if there's another way for the without the cross, but not my will. If Jesus said, not my will, Father, but thy will be done. And he submitted. Submission is a wonderful word. And it's a wonderful application in our lives. ask in my name, and I will do it. And when people want prayer and they ask for prayer, we pray, and we pray believing in God. And the goal in life isn't to live forever. The goal in life is to be ready to meet Jesus. The goal in life is, as we are ready and waiting and watching, that we are more yielded, abiding, and fruitful than at any other time in our life, that I may finish the race with joy that God has given to us. Paul said, I kept the faith. I finished the race. And there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, not for me only, but for all those who love is appearing. Amen. I'm going to pray here. We're going to go off the air for a minute. We're going to have a little of announcement, then we'll have the final worship song. So, Father in heaven, I thank you, and I pray this morning for anyone here or listening, watching. It was really clear that you made a claim that you're the only way, the only truth, and the only life. So I pray, God, that if any of us have made concessions in our life, compromising concessions, thinking we have a better way, or we yield to conversations in a culture that are embracing various other ways that are going to lead somebody to hell, we ask your forgiveness, and we pray that you would strengthen us and give us boldness and clarity. And if you've yet come to faith personally in Jesus Christ, the question was asked, are you ready for heaven in this message? And you have been thinking that through, and you might be saying, you know, I'm not certain if I am. And I appreciate your honesty. The Lord wants you to be certain. This is a testimony. God's given us eternal life. This life is in his Son. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son does not have life. I've written these things that you may know that you have eternal life. And eternal life begins by a relationship, one that begins by humbly saying to God, Father, I'm sorry. I've sinned against you, and I ask for your forgiveness. I want to turn from my sin and turn towards you. And I believe that you are the Redeemer and the Savior. So I ask for your forgiveness now in Jesus' name.